Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on this Christmas Eve Eve. And somebody else called it what? Christmas?
Christmas Adam.
Christmas Adam, because Adam comes before Eve.
Yeah.
Hey, I intro'd the topic right before the top of the hour. I'm talking about term limits. Wow. Listen, down in Montgomery, when I was in the state Senate, I was one of the only senators who would consistently co-sponsor bills for term limits, and they never came out of committee. I mean, you couldn't get them moving. Myself, Tripp Pittman, a couple other guys, and then we all term limited ourselves, too. Like, I was there for 8 years and decided that running for a third was not what I was supposed to do because it was not my identity. And yet so many in public office, they get in there, and it's not just their career, it's their identity. They don't know what to do with themselves if they're not elected. And that's why too often you see somebody who has been in office for 35, 40 years and they're well into their 80s. It's like they don't care that they have grandkids. They could care less about it. They don't want to do with themselves if they're not in power. And so they never leave. And we got a massive problem with this right now with this Representative Kay Granger story. Listen, I'm going to bring somebody on to just kind of opine with me about it a minute. A guy that I just think the world of, State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, represents District 7 up in the northwestern part of our state. It's Lawrence Colbert, Morgan County. And he's a constitutionalist, and he's even been a guest host on Right Side. He's a true Right Side ruffian. Ernie Yarbrough, how you doing?
Brother, I am doing fantastic. I got even happier when I heard that I get to come on the show and talk for a minute. I have had knee surgery, and so I have been stove up recovering. But as you can imagine, somebody like me that doesn't like to talk and is very shy and doesn't enjoy being around people, hiding away in my house has been just a very natural thing for me.
Yeah, like not. By the way, you didn't just have knee surgery. You had like knee reconstruction after you just tore the whole thing to pieces.
Yeah, so turns out being 43 years old and running routes on AstroTurf at the Auburn Athletic Training Facility wearing, you know, multiple inch thick dress shoes probably is not a good idea.
No, something about when your kneecap was on your thigh later on is what I heard.
Turns out there's a tendon there called the patellar tendon. Turns out the good Lord made it for a purpose, which includes attaching at the bottom of your kneecap and holding it in place. So intelligent design has many, many important uses.
Yes, it does. And it's a good thing you had intelligent surgeons to put it back in place.
Amen.
All right. Well, listen.
It's a blessing. It's not 100 years ago. They just cut my leg off. That's a blessing.
I am glad that you are going to be mobile again, and that at the very least you're still able to talk. But So did you hear this story, by the way, Ernie, this Representative Kay Granger? She's a career, I guess she is a career politician, but she's a longtime Republican from Texas, and she has been in Congress since like 1990 or something, and she was the mayor of Dallas. She's been AWOL since July. No one knew where she was, and they just found her in the dementia ward of a nursing home, but she's still holding office in Congress.
Yeah, wow. I did some research when I heard the story drop, and I was on different news sites and app, and I was like, she's fixing to finish her 14th term, 81 years old, right, elected in like 1996, and mind blown, as you said, that she's been AWOL for all this time, and nobody, no comms from anybody, yeah. You know, to her constituents or anybody, that she's in a dementia condition. And it just struck me when I read this story. You know, there's a whole, as you know, my campaign slogan is Make Alabama Local Again. I'm writing a book called Make America Local Again, which I hope to have out early in the spring.
Wow.
But the whole concept behind it, the whole issue behind this, is which just begs the question of, well, as you brought up, term limits, right, is the whole concept of the structure of American politics and what did our founders intend versus what it's become.
Yes.
And I think, you know, so often it gets back to, for me, I want to challenge the American people, right? Because we're supposed to be a grassroots, bottom-up country of politics. And so I think behind this, there's a bigger story here of how Americans have to change their mindset about public service and taking control of and taking charge of their own political future.
I completely agree. And I realize, too, that some of what happens in our, especially in the legislative branches, runs on seniority. and I know that. And but at the same time, that does not mean that you have to stay there for 35, 40 years. You don't have to be there till you're 80, 90 years old. And I look at these people and I think, do you not have a life? Is this your life? Is this all you have? Because
that's right.
It's just
and that's what leads to having a spending bill, right? That's 1,600 pages.
Yeah, and no one blinks.
As opposed to 120 pages off of, you know, a few posts on X. And I think, again, behind this, you have people who are there all this time, decades and decades. They form all these relationships, unhealthy, with lobbyists, backdoor dollars, backdoor interest. And so that becomes their way of, hey, I come in with a net worth of $200,000. I'm going to leave with a net worth of, say, $80 million, right? And the reality is behind this, here's what I think is the bigger takeaway. You know, because I think so often the government has this idea of, or this vested interest of, hey, the problem was with the government. The problem was with the feds. Blame the feds and the feds will solve the problem. No, the problem here, I love my constituents and the American people. And when we acknowledge that the fault is ours, then we can fix it. The problem is the American people. We have failed to take responsibility for our elected officials and that, you know what, you're meant to be there for a few terms. And you're out, because the whole idea of representative government, right, is that it's of, by, and for the people. And it's kind of like, you know, growing up, you know, when in your generation and then before you, my dad's generation, right, like military service. It was like, hey, you're in for a few years. It's good for a man to serve. He gets out. He goes about his duty. Right. And so the same concept here is, and what the founders intended, political office is never meant to be a career. It wasn't meant to be a way to make a living, right? The initial Continental Congress, they didn't make a salary.
Right.
They were all men who owned their own businesses, right? They came in, they served, and they went home. So they had short terms. And I think behind this, we've got to reevaluate and change that political career should not be a career. It should be a true method of public service whereby someone comes in, does their duty, and gets out.
Yes, absolutely. And I can't feel that stronger than I feel it right now. I mean, I'm looking at, and I, you know, granted, in Montgomery, you and I have both seen people whose actual identities are being elected. They don't know what to do with themselves if they weren't in the state legislature or doing something in the state government. But in D.C., it almost feels like it's a pandemic of decrepitness. I mean, I'm looking at Kay Granger. They find her in a dementia ward. And no one has said boo about it to her constituents for 6 months. People are livid now that they're finding out. Then you got like Mitch McConnell. McConnell had another fall the other day. He's had multiple health events that were clearly indicators that he is no longer firing on all cylinders. And he now has a concussion that he's getting over with just from a few days ago when he fell in the Capitol building. And when you got articles being written by Politico and Vox and others that are saying this kind of stuff, you know it's not just the Republicans saying it. And it's a bipartisan issue. Dianne Feinstein, she was, 89 years old. 89.
Yep.
And no longer had the cognitive or physical ability to even do her job, but she was still in office. And it's just...
Yeah, I mean, you see it with Nancy Pelosi. You see it with that crazy purple-haired woman from Connecticut or whatever.
Wow.
talking about how that we need female crash dummies because there's a gender inequality in crash dummies. I mean, this kind of insanity and stupidity is so not only so far divorced from a Christian worldview, but from even anybody that has one eye and half sense. But this is where, again, my plea back to the American people is, what if we had the same passion to raise up public servants as we did for our football teams?
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't even supersede your love for football. Just match it. And what you would find is, instead of having our young people obsessed with, you know, making that next sports team, if we modeled for our young people the next debate team, the next political, and hey, we're gonna have a competition and work towards the next person who's going to serve the next two terms, and then you're done,
yeah.
Right? But it's all about how we, as the adults in the room, instead of as Americans being obsessed with pleasure and ease and comfort and all the things that don't inconvenience me, it gets back to you, right? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And it's high time, and this is my prayer as we, you know, talk about hope and faith for our future and our country, that we talk about making America great again. How about making public service great again, in the sense that this is my contribution, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to hand the baton and keep going. Hand the baton and keep going. And there's I see this on local government all the time. where there's a crisis in local government of a refusal or a lack of ability to know how to hand the baton off to the next generation or to the next group of people coming through who need to step into those roles of public service.
Yes.
And when you view power and public service as a way to give you a platform and a position of prosperity and influence that you would otherwise not have through honest labor, that's a huge problem.
That's a huge problem. And you're so right. And I love the idea of passing the baton, but I think there are times, though, that we're going to need to have to figure out a way to literally wrest the baton out of their craggy fingers because they won't let it go. And I don't know that we'll ever get a term limit. People don't realize they go, we need term limits. It's the people you want a term limit that have to vote for the bill to term limit themselves. And good luck with that.
But the way that you accomplish that then, right? The way that you accomplish that is there has to be a fire in the hearts of the people
that's
to raise up somebody from the grassroots to run for office and be the change.
That's right.
Again, you can complain about term limits, but if you're not willing as churches and community groups to raise up individuals to fund them, enable them, equip them, and hold them accountable, you're just blowing smoke, which gets back to the American people have got to take a long, hard look in the mirror. The people of Alabama have got to take a long, hard look in the mirror and say, if we really believe this, and it's not just talking points because we want to sound like we're conservative cool cats, what is the actual cost going to look like for us to accomplish this?
Man, as always, I knew you'd nail it. I knew you would. I knew you'd nail it. Hey, listen, we got to take a break, Brother Ernie, and then I want to come back and change gears with you. And Christmas being tomorrow, I want to talk about faith in the public arena and your thoughts on that before we close up, all right?
Let's do it.
All right, we're taking a break right now. We're with State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, who so ably represents the folks of State House District 7 up in the northwest part of our state. He is a ruffian. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. Going right back to the phones right now with State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, represents House District 7 up yonder in northwest Alabama, Lawrence, Colbert, Morgan County. Hey, so Ernie, I'm switching gears on you here real quick. I've got a segment I'm doing called Faith Rising, and there are some who are studying this and saying that Christianity in particular is sort of falling by the wayside, and yet at the same time, there are studies saying that there are more first-time Bible buyers than ever before right now in the United States. I got some great quotes that I'll run later after you and I finish up talking about, you know, Cardinal Dolan, especially up in New York City, talking about, you know, faith in the public square. But your thoughts on that as we head into Christmas?
I think that it's incredibly exciting to see. I believe God's at work. I lead history tours in Scotland. I love church history. You know, there was a time in Scotland when over 90% of the people couldn't even read. And it was through a desire to buy Bibles and read Bibles that it sparked the entire, not only birth of Western civilization, but even the scientific revolution. And I think that knowing history is so encouraging because, you know, it teaches you what God has done in the past. It's been worse than it is now and what God has done. And it gives you such perspective. I think with all this happening with Trump and like a national awakening, what seems to be the death of mainstream media, the rise of, just like in the 1500s, right, the birth of the Gutenberg printing press, the free flow of information, all of that was they were under the tyranny of the Pope of Rome, who at that time, right, controlled financial, spiritual, and that was just the situation of that historical context, you know, 500 years ago, people got burnt at the stake for wanting to, you know, read the Bible in English or whatever. So a desire for knowledge and the free flow of information, right, the exchange of ideas. And I think in the context of all that's happened in this historical campaign and now leading into Christmas, you know, Charles Dickens said that Christmas time changes our hearts, it seems, whether we wish it so or not. There's a power in the coming of Christ that it has over the most obdurate unbeliever that simply cannot be escaped. And I think you see this coming to fruition as well. So I've seen some reports that came out that says now there are now for the first time since like 1970 or something like that, a long time ago, that there are more men, young men, going to church than women now. And this is all birthed out of a context of things like Charlie Kirk going to all of these campuses, sharing the gospel and sharing political freedom and ideas.
Yeah.
And I think that all of these things have had to happen. COVID, Biden, bullets flying, votes stolen. All these things have had to happen in order, in the mercy of God, to shake us to our senses. And I'm actually very excited for the future.
Listen, thank you for that. And that was an amazing statement. But you're right. And I really do believe that you can sense it. I mean, it's one of those things, you can feel it in your spirit. There's a shift in the spiritual, in my opinion, right now. And I believe that people are looking to Jesus far more than they were before. And I've got a poll here that came off of CBS News, believe it or not, saying that more Americans are hopeful about 2025 than they were for 2024. And part of me wants to go, duh. But, I look at it and go, this is great. I mean, they're looking at a 57% say they're now hopeful, as opposed to 47% last year going into the new year. And I find that to be an amazing thing, but I think faith is the heart of it.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, and the fact that you've seen massive amounts of untrustworthy, deceitful practices. And I think what's exciting to me too is people are learning that the old gods, the old way of thinking that's dominated the public discourse for the last 50 to 100 years. Well, I can't put it any better than G.K. Chesterton. He said, the new rebel is a skeptic and will not entirely trust everything. He has no loyalty. Therefore, he could never really be a revolutionist. Like there's no truth, right? My truth, your truth. He says, for all denunciation implies a moral doctrine of some kind. But the modern revolutionist doubts not only the institution that he denounces, but the doctrine by which he denounces it. And he says, thus he writes one book complaining that imperial oppression insults the purity of women, and then writes another book about the sex problem in which he insults it himself. Right? He curses the Sultan because Christian girls lose their virginity, and then curses Mrs. Grundy because they keep it. As a politician, he will cry out that war is a waste of life, and then as a philosopher, that all life is a waste of time. Right? He denounces marriage as a lie, and then denounces aristocratic profligates for treating it as a lie. Right? He says that the man of this school goes first to a political meeting where he complains that savages are treated bad, and then says we are animals. Right? So people are learning the bankruptcy of thought, and are learning to turn elsewhere to find something to believe in.
Ernie, you are the man. We appreciate you. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and we'll talk to you again soon, brother.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, and we're coming right back with more on that. Faith Rising, we'll talk about it.